catch that. Not guilty tonight. Well, I want you to do me a favor and pick up two passages of Scripture in the Old Testament. One will be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and 2 Kings chapter number 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 2 Kings chapter number 6. We'll find our place in Ecclesiastes 11 first, and then we'll jump as quickly and expeditiously as we can to Ecclesiastes chapter number, or 2 Kings chapter number 6 after we're done reading over here in Ecclesiastes tonight. We've been preaching a series of messages. This is number 7 in our series on the subject of sweet things out of dark places. God over and over and over and over again from Genesis 1-2 all the way through the books of the Bible seems to pull out sweet things in the dark, from the dark. You and I kick, scratch, and plead and beg with God not to send us into the dark. But our text has been Isaiah 45:3, where the Lord said, I will give thee the treasures of the darkness and hidden things out of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, the God of Abraham, that calleth thee by thy name, am God. And so the Lord teaches us things in the dark. Now, we'll not go back to Isaiah 45, even though that has been our diving board. Tonight, I would like our diving board to be found in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. And I want you to notice verses 7 and 8. If you found your place in Ecclesiastes, you find Proverbs and come to the right, and you'll find Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. Truly, verse 7, the light is sweet. And a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. It is a beautiful thing. We was walking across the parking lot tonight. Brother Holshouser said, look at the beautiful sunset, preacher. This is beautiful. It's beautiful to get up in the morning and that sun comes peeking over these trees over here in the woods. Beautiful. It's a gorgeous thing to behold the sun. Can I just tell you this, just real quick? Do you know that they have ended up finding out here recently, Brother Jacob, that it is actually healthy to the eyes to let sunlight hit the eyes? It helps your eyesight. How in the world did Solomon know that way on back over there, you know, 1000 B.C.? How in the world Solomon knows something like that? Your King James Bible knew it before the doctors ever knew it. Anyways, truly the light is sweet, a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But watch verse number 8 tonight. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Boy, I wish that wasn't so. But it is. All that cometh is vanity. In other words, Solomon is saying this in this text. He's saying you need to remember some things when you go through the dark. No matter how many years you live, doesn't matter how many good days you have, there's going to be plenty of days of darkness, and you need to remember the days of darkness. There are lessons to be learned in the dark. And I have found that there are people that they never learn anything when God puts them in the dark, so they are doomed to replicate the same darkness over and over and over again because they don't learn what God's trying to get across to them when they go through some different dark places of life. I hate taking the same test twice. And if I'm going to have to go through some darkness, I'd like to try and learn whatever it is that God's trying to show me, Brother John, the first or second time through and not have to hit it over and over and over again. Y'all, there will be plenty of dark times in life. There are lessons to be learned in all of them tonight. That's what Solomon's trying to get across. And tonight, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. And show you a dark time in the country of Israel, in the place of Samaria. There's this dark time here, but there's some lessons to be learned tonight. Look how dark this time is. 2 Kings chapter number 6, and watch verses 24 and 25. 2 Kings 24, 25, then we'll skip down to chapter 7 and read several verses here together. 2 Kings 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it. It gets so bad that in verse 25 it even says that they're selling dung to try and fill their own bellies. Now come down to chapter 7, and I want you to see the sweet thing out of the dark place tonight is something that's going to be taught to us, lessons we're going to learn from lepers tonight. Chapter 7, verse 1, then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Now watch verse 3. "And there were 4 leprous men at the inner and end of the gate." Tonight, the sleep thing out of dark places is we're going to take a lesson from lepers tonight. "There were 4 leprous men at the inner end of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." It's in the twilight. It's just about to get totally dark. Verse 6, "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. Came again, entered into another tent, carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night," sweet things in the dark places, "and said unto his servants, 'I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" And here the Bible says, we'll not take the time to read all of it, but they send messengers out, they send advance scouts out and go check it out. And sure, just like they said, the Syrians was gone. Skip down to verse 16. "And the people went out," verse 16, "and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour is sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord." Tonight we'll look at lessons from lepers out of these sweet things out of dark places tonight. You say, "Preacher, what is the lessons that we can learn out of this dark place in Samaria and Israel?" Well, before we get to the lepers, we're going to get to them in just a minute, but can I give you some real quick preliminary lessons to learn out of this story while you're in the dark? Let me just show you several things by way of introduction, and we'll run to the message tonight. You say, what are some preliminary things that we can gain when we're going through darkness in life, when we're going through areas of life where it feels like we're surrounded, where it feels like darkness is falling on our life, where it feels like nothing's going right for us? Let me say this real quick by way of introduction. If you're in a dark place, don't let your family suffer. Don't let your family suffer when you're in a dark place. Go back to chapter 6 and watch chapter 6. Watch chapter number 6 here in verse number 28. The king has a woman come to him and says to him in verse 26 of chapter 6, "Help my lord, O king." And he says, "What's wrong with you?" Look at verse 28. "The king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered, 'This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, 'On the next day, give thy son that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son." You see what's going on here? They are cannibalizing their own children in a dark time in life.
Now, I want everybody in here, all you adults, to understand something. You can get into some dark places to where if you're not careful, you'll end up cannibalizing your own children with your own bitterness, cannibalizing your own children with your own depression, with your own discouragement. Listen to me, Mom and Daddy. When you wind up in a dark time, you better remember this. There are little ones watching you tonight. There are little ones that still need to know there's a God in heaven, that still need to know there is refuge in the church, that still needs to know the Bible is true, and the last thing they need is for you to cannibalize them because you are going through a dark time. I'm going to run to the point here real fast and get off of this. But listen to me, I have literally watched mamas and daddies wind up in dark times of life, and they pass their own bitterness, they pass their own problems onto their children. Instead of showing their children the Lord is still good in spite of our dark time. I said this the other night down there or up there in King. But I remember when I was a child watching my mom and daddy, Brother Bill, go through some serious hard times in life. I mean some serious financial troubles and some burdens and some troubles in life and daddy doing the best he could to work. But I never did one time hear mom and daddy badmouth God. I never did one time because mom and daddy had a bad day. They didn't say, well, we'll just stay home from church because we're having a bad day. No, sir. They realized there was a couple little boys watching them. And them little boys, even in the dark, deserved to know and see that God was real and the Lord was sufficient tonight. You better be careful how you let your family suffer when you're walking through a dark time. Not only just a preliminary lesson to be learned is don't let your family suffer in the dark. Don't forget what God has already done when you get in the dark. Don't forget what God's done for you. Well, watch what the Lord had already done for this king of Syria. Real fast, look at chapter 6 and watch verse number 31. Watch verse 31. After the king hears this terrible story of these women eating their own children, verse 31 said this, then he said, this is the king of Israel, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. In other words, he says, let's kill the preacher. But you know what he's forgotten? Brother David, he's forgotten how good God had already been to him and what God had already done for him in the past. Come back in chapter 6 and watch this. You know what happens earlier in chapter 6? God smites the entire host of Syria with blindness and brings them to the doorstep of the king of Israel. And watch what the king says, verse number 20, chapter 6, verse 20. It came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. The Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, the guy who wants to kill Elisha, not half a chapter later, said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He's asking Elisha what to do there. And not a half a chapter later, he has totally forgot how God delivered them, how God did something great in their life, how God delivered the enemies in their hand. If you're not careful, you'll get in a dark place and you'll start thinking, Lord, you done forsook me. Lord, you ain't never... Look here, don't get to the place where you forget. Back down in my past, God delivered me time and time again. God's always put clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, money in my pocket, always come through, always paid my bills. He's always been sufficient. He's always given songs in the night. Don't forget what the Lord has done tonight. Don't let your family suffer. Don't forget what God's done. Don't lose your faith. Chapter 7, Elisha tells him in chapter 7, verse 1, he says, tomorrow you're going to get all the food you can stand. Fine flour is going to be sold for a shekel. 2 measures of barley for a shekel. And one old smart aleck answers and says in verse 2, old smart aleck says, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, verse 2, might this thing be? You know what he didn't have? He didn't have no faith in the dark. He said, God can't do nothing with this. Look how bad it is. Women's eating their youngins. We're eating donkey heads. That's what it said in chapter 6. We're eating donkey heads and eating dove poop. I mean, brother, we in bad shape. God can't do nothing with how bad we got it. And Elisha said, you just watch. Them windows of heaven are going to open up and God is going to do something. Don't get in your dark and start thinking that the dark is bigger than the God that put you in the dark. Don't get in the dark and start thinking that the dark is greater than the God that can do something in the middle of the dark. We serve a God that still does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think tonight. And if God wants to pop a window in heaven open and drop down something in the middle of the dark, He can do it tonight. But that ain't my message. My message is the lepers tonight. My message is the lepers. What are the lessons that we learn from lepers? I want to show you the lesson that we learn from the lepers tonight. Three little things real quick in lessons from lepers in the middle of the dark. What are these lessons? Look at chapter 7 and watch verse number 3 and 4. The lepers end up coming up, Brother Keith, with three options in the middle of the dark. And they're the same three options that you've got in the middle of your dark place tonight. Three options that you got in the middle of your dark place. Watch what they said. Chapter 7, verse 3. There were four leprous men at the inner end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Here's your three options that everybody in here's got in the dark. Here's your three options. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, option two, we die also. Option three, now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. The way I see it, when you're in the midst of a dark time and a dark place, you got three options. And here's the lessons from the lepers tonight. Let me say option one is this. Number one, you can slide backwards. Here's option one in your dark. You can slide back. Look what they said, verse 4. Here's option number one, verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. The first option they come up with is this. Let's just go back, Brother Tim, where we come from. The city's where they come from. That's where they used to live at. They know something about the city. And option number one, Brother Charlie, is this. We can just turn around and go back to the place where we come from. But we know this about that place according to this. They said if we go back into the city, we're going to die there. We know what's going on up in there. There ain't nothing going on up in there but people eating their children. There ain't nothing going on up in there but people eating donkey heads and dove poop. There ain't nothing going on up in there but a bunch of death, a bunch of disease, and a bunch of dying. In other words, they said this. There ain't nothing to go back to. There ain't nothing worth going back in there for. What would we get there? That we don't got here. It's just death and dying, discouragement and depression. Them people, look here, it's not like them people back in the city, if we slide backwards, it's not like they don't got problems too. They got the same problems we got. They got the same famine we got. What's the point in sliding backwards? May y'all listen to me tonight. I have watched some Christians in my years of being saved, Preacher Lutrick, I've watched some Christians that when the dark hit their home, when the dark hit their family, when the dark times invaded their life, the first thing they did is said, look at here, it's too rough coming to church. It's too tough serving God. I think I'll just get out of church. I'll go back to the liquor bottle. I'll go back to a bar stool. I'll go back to fishing on Sunday and hunting on Sunday and living my own life and doing my own thing. Serving God ain't got me nothing but a bunch of problems. Serving God ain't got me nothing but a bunch of burdens. Serving God ain't got me nothing but a bunch of heartaches. Can I tell you tonight, I watch some of God's people, and I do. I watch some of God's people, Brother Skip, and I watch them get on fire to serve the Lord. I mean, Brother Brown, they finally sell out and make their mind up. They either get called to preach or called to a ministry or really get saved. sold out serving the Lord. You know the first thing I think, Brother Zander? The first thing I think is, oh boy. I know what's coming. If any seasoned Christian in the building that's lived for God faithfully for any length of time, we've all been there and we've all been through it. When you finally make your mind up to sell out and serve God, brother, them first few years, the devil will throw both feet on you immediately to try and knock you out real fast. To try and get you to start thinking, this ain't worth it. To try and get you to start thinking, I had it better out there. But just mark it down. We got nothing to go back to. There ain't nothing back there. We know what's out there in that world. We know what was back there. There wasn't no hope back there. There wasn't no peace back there. There wasn't no joy back there. There was just a bunch of discouragement. There's just a bunch of death back there. You say, I'm going back to the world. Really? What in the world you going to get back out there? There's death out there. You think they don't got problems? Think they don't got heartaches? At least we got somebody now that's with us and helps us. We got a place we can come and people we can worship with and a Holy Ghost we can feel. There ain't nothing to go back to tonight. And if you're in some, case, even kind of just pondering, maybe see you're sitting here tonight and you're just kind of pondering, you know, going back might not be a bad option. You say, you know why these guys didn't go back? Don't miss this. Talk about lessons from lepers. You know why these guys didn't go back, Brother James? Don't miss this. They knew they couldn't feel comfortable back there no more. Bible study! Bible study! Take your Bible, go to Leviticus. Watch it. Leviticus chapter 13. Bible study, Leviticus chapter 13. Watch, they couldn't feel comfortable back yonder no more. Leviticus 13, watch it. I got somewhere I'm going with this. Verse 46. This is the chapter about lepers in your Bible. Leviticus 13, 59 verses, talking nothing but about leprosy and lepers. Leviticus 13, 46. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Watch why they couldn't slide back. Verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Watch these three words. Don't miss these three words. Mentally underline these three words. Without the camp. He can't go into the city. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Y'all, you know why going back into the city wasn't an option? Because if they'd have walked in, everybody would have known, you don't belong here no more. You're exiled from here. You look different than we do. You're different than we are. Get out! You can't come in here. You know why you can't go back to the world and enjoy it? Same reason the lepers can't. Go to another chapter 13 with me. Go to another chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Watch Hebrews 13. Don't miss this. Remember I told you them words to mentally underline without the camp? Watch Hebrews 13. You know why you can't feel comfortable going back and sliding backwards? Talking about you in the dark and you think, well, maybe just the easiest thing to do, just slide out. Just get out of the kitchen. The heat's on too strong. You won't never fit in there no more, y'all. Why? Hebrews 13. Verse number 11, Hebrews 13, 11. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him. There you are. Without the camp. What are we doing? Same thing the leper's doing. Bearing reproach. Bearing his reproach. Verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You don't know why the lepers couldn't go back and enjoy being back in there? Because they couldn't be accepted in there. They was different. They was outcast. They was alienated. You know why you can't go back to the world? You ain't part of that world no more. The Lord done called you out. The Lord done put a different stamp on you. The Lord done put a different savor on you. You can't be comfortable back in that world no more. God pulled you out of that world. Got you out. You can't. Y'all, you can't. Brother Beaver, we can't be comfortable walking into some dimly lit, dark bar room with a bunch of dirty talk going on around us, with a bunch of scantily clad bimbos walking around, with the jukebox thumping and talking about all the filth of this world, alcohol sitting on the table where we belly up to, feeling that oppressive spirit of Satan. Listen up in here. If you can go in there and feel at home, something wrong with you. If what I just described to you, that place, if you're sitting there saying, yeah, man, yeah, that sounds like great. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with your soul tonight. If you can walk up in there and the Holy Ghost don't quench something inside of you, you better check yourself at the door. You know why we can't feel a home and stuff like that no more? Because God pulled us out. God put a different spirit inside of us. And we can't be at home in that place no more. You know why you get around certain people and your spirit gets quenched and they don't even accept some of y'all on your job? You are an outcast to certain groups on your job. You know why? It's not because you're trying to be a goody-two-shoes. It's not because you're trying to be a holier-than-thou. It's just because you've let them know, I live for Jesus. I'm trying to serve the Lord. And that has put you in a different category. And tonight, it's just because it gets dark, don't go backwards. You can't be a part of that no more. You'll never have no joy out there. You don't know who some of the most miserable people in the world are. Most miserable people in the world. Christians who slide backwards. They're miserable. You know why they're miserable? Because ain't no joy to a Christian out there. They get out there, man, and I mean just the whole attitude starts stinking. And life stinks. It's like the story I heard about them little kids. They started aggravating their papa. Papa was laid up on the easy chair and he was taking a nap. And them old hateful grand youngins went in there and got some old stinky Limburger cheese. And they run in there and they run it up under his nose and took off running. And Papa laid there snoring. And he woke up and said, dear God, the living room stinks. He got up and he walked into the kitchen. He said, my soul, the kitchen stinks. He walked into the bedroom and sniffed and said, my soul, my bedroom stinks. He went to the front door, flung it open, and walked in the middle of the lawn and he said, Lord God, the whole world stinks. You know that's some people's attitude? That's people that go back to the world. Everything stinks to them. Isn't it funny? I just read to you a second ago. I just read to you in Kings where when everything started going wrong in the dark for the king of Israel, he's in the city. When things start going wrong, his first thing is, kill Elisha. This is not Elisha's fault. You get to the place, you start blaming everybody for your stinking situation. Don't start pointing the finger at everybody else. Start looking towards heaven. Say, God, you got to help me. Sliding backwards is not an option. Option one, slide backwards. Lessons from lepers. Let's look at option two. Option two in the dark. Watch verse 4. 2 Kings 7, 4. Here we go. Well, we'll start in verse 3. Look at verse 3. I got to hurry here. 2 Kings 7:3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, here's one of the greatest questions of the Bible. You ought to underline this. One of the great questions of the Bible. Why sit we here until we die? Verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, we shall die there. Now watch, here's option 2. And if we sit still here, it may take a little longer, but we still go home to die. We die also. So option one is you can slide backwards in the dark. Option two is you can just sit still. Don't do nothing. Just get comfortable. It may take longer to die than going backwards, but you're still going to die. I want everybody to understand something. Churches die when they sit still. Christians die when they sit still. Marriages die when they sit still. You just leave anything to sit still long enough and you don't tend to it and you don't do nothing with it and you don't try and help it, it will die this evening. Some people are like this. Well, we'll just sit here. Well, this is just the way it's always been. Things ain't never going to change. So let's just not change and not do anything. Isn't that the problem with the last days Laodicean church? Didn't we just talk about the Laodicean church in Bible Institute for just a little bit? It said, Jesus said to that Laodicean church, Brother Udi, He said this. He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're not going forwards. You're not going backwards. You're somewhere in the middle. You're just lukewarm. You're not gaining ground, but you're not losing ground. You're just somewhere in the middle. I'm going to tell you what's killed as many Christian lives as sliding back in the world. What's killed as many Christian lives is just getting at ease in Zion and just parking your tail on a pew and doing nothing. You ain't never growing. You ain't never growing. You ain't growing in grace. You ain't growing in your Bible. You ain't growing in your prayer life. You ain't growing in your giving. You ain't growing in your witnessing. You've just reached the plateau and you've just stopped and you've just said, you know what? I'm just going to sit still right here. You know, somebody said if you're going through hell, just keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop where you at. That's a bad thing to do. If you're in the dark, don't just stop. Keep moving. I remember when I just got started flying, had an old pilot, Brother Rudy Smith. He was old then. He's real old now. I don't think he's flying much anymore. But he was an old pilot. Everybody knew him in the county, flying around. And I'll never forget, he always told us young pilots, this is what he'd always say to finish out our EAA meetings, our Experimental Aircraft Association meetings, such as that. Brother Skip, he'd always say this. This is the way he'd end all of his meetings. And he would use it as a way to talk about the Lord, too. But he'd always say this. He'd say, always fly towards the light. Always fly towards the light. He said, if it's getting dark all around you and them dark clouds are coming in, always fly towards the light. He was just old fly by seat of your pants. I don't think he ever flew by a GPS a day in his life. And Brother Stevie would always just say, just fly towards the light. You know the best thing you can do when it starts getting dark? Start heading towards some light. Don't just sit still. Don't get stagnant. Don't get to the place. I don't want my walk with God to get stagnant. I don't want our church to get stagnant. I want us to constantly be moving. That's what the Holy Ghost does. We read it in Genesis chapter 1. The Holy Ghost moved in Genesis 1:3. He's always moving. I want to make sure I'm moving for the glory of God. What can we do in the dark, preacher? What's the lesson from lepers? You can slide backwards. You can sit still. Or the last thing we can do, and this is where I wanted to end at and really want to preach here just for a couple minutes. The last thing you can do is you can step forward. You can take a step. Watch what they say. I love this. Verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, we shall die there. Option 1. And if we sit still here, we die also. Option 2. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, well, we was going to die anyways. I mean, right? Brother Butch, we was dying anyways. If they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to be death back there, death right here. At least we die going forward. Now, I'll tell you what this option is. Listen to me. Don't miss this. I'll tell you what this option is. It's in the realm of faith. It's, I don't know what God might do, but I believe God can do something. Now I'm going to apply some faith that I'm going to step towards the Lord and I'm going to keep moving forward and see what God will do up ahead. You say, preacher, what did God do when the lepers stepped forward in the dark? Check it out. Verse 5, don't miss this. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Verse 6, for the Lord. Before they ever got there, God had already been there. The place that they were scared to death to head to. The place they were scared to death to step to. When they made a step that way, they found out, shoot, God already been out here in front of us. God done run on before us, and God done started working things out and moving pieces and putting pieces of the puzzle in the right place. You say, what's that got to do with me? Well, don't go backwards and don't sit still. But if you'll just keep heading towards the Lord, keep walking with God. Keep serving the Lord. I promise you, when you keep moving forward, you'll find God out there. You'll find the Lord up ahead. You'll find God making a way. You'll find God clearing a path. Some of y'all, just a few years ago, you'd have never dreamed what God has done in your family, with your children, with your life. You'd have never dreamed. And when you first started making them steps in your life to make radical transformation, to start walking with God, it was the scariest thing you'd ever done. You thought, that's all I know. I can't walk away from that. But you started following God and walking by faith. And you know what you found when you got up yonder? You found an all-sufficient God. You found the God of all grace. You found the Holy God of heaven had cleared a path, made a way, went before you and did the impossible. Look what God did. Look what God did. The Lord made the host of the Syrians, verse 6, to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. It just for lepers. The whole army's coming to get us. No, it's just four old leper boys. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. And they arose and fled in the twilight and left the whole shebang for these fellas. You say, preacher, give me some Bible for this stepping forward, for this heading towards the line, for this walking with God gladly. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm forgetting all that stuff behind me. And I ain't sitting still for dead sure. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm headed toward the prize. You say, what's the prize for going forward? What's the prize? What's the prize? I know what the prize is. He said it earlier in that chapter, in chapter 3, verse 8. You know what he said the prize was? Jesus himself. He said that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, the righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is the faith of Christ. And he said this, and all these things I got, I count them but dung, that I may, this is what you do with a prize, y'all, that I may win Christ. Not like he's working to get saved. No. What he's talking about is, when I press toward the mark and I go forward, you know what I find? I find Jesus. I find the Lord is up there. I find God's already made a way. Brother, I find in my Bible, every time God's people start making a step, they end up finding God was already up yonder in front of them. God called Abraham out from his daddy's house, and Abraham said, Lord, I'm scared to go. I don't know where I'm going. But when Abraham stepped out, he found out God had already walked all over that ground before him, and God had already seen all of it. God told Abraham, go up on Mount Moriah and offer your son for a sacrifice. And when Abraham got up there, there was already a ram caught in the thicket. God had already went before him. When there was a famine in all the land of Israel and Egypt, God already went before Jacob and sent Joseph in there. When the children of Israel made a step out of Egypt, God went before them to the Red Sea and rolled it back. When the children of Israel walked out and started headed to the promised land, there was fire by day, fire by night to lead them, and a cloud by day to lead them. When they needed water, there was already a rock there to give them water. When they needed bread, there was already bread there to give them. When they got to Jericho, there was already a God shaking the walls and making them drop. You hear me? When Philip left the revival meeting, God already had an Ethiopian eunuch for him to give the gospel to. When Paul went into Macedonia, God already had a Philippian jailer preparing his heart to receive the word. I'm just saying, if you'll step forward, just step forward, just step forward and walk with God, God will be there.
God will be out there.
I wonder, when's the last time you stepped forward in your growth? When's the last time you stepped forward in your godliness? When's the last time you stepped forward in your giving? When's the last time you just took a step forward, and the only way you're going to be supported is if God had went before you? Brother Paul, I am afraid that in our Christian life, we live totally in the realm of comfortability. And we're only stepping out if we see everything perfectly in front of us. Instead of the just shall live and walk by faith. I'll never forget personal experience when God first called me into evangelism. They did that skit here the other day. And they got that pretty much right for the most part. I'll never forget one night after revival service at my home church, there was a preacher that pastored and was fairly well known at that time. He had got done preaching. God had called me into evangelism. I was about 19, 20, something like that. I guess I was 20, 21, something like that. And what God had put on my heart, and the preacher said, go talk to him and tell him about that. Let's get him to pray for you and such. And I walked up and I told him what God, I thought, was doing in my life. And he laughed at me. Just straight up, Brother Bill, he laughed at me. And he laughed and he said, he said, there ain't nobody going to use you, boy. That's what I told him. That's what I told him. I'll never forget that. I ain't lying to you. I ain't embellishing nothing. I'm telling you just like it happened. Standing right, I remember right in the grassy spot right outside the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lyons, Georgia, outside the door where he told me that. He said, ain't nobody going to use you. He said, because people know who your pastor is and they think he's disqualified. They're not going to use you. He said, and on top of that, this is what he said. He said, you ain't even got the right name for evangelism. He said, Zorn. Huh. What kind of name is that? I thought, it's the only one I got. Maybe I should have took my wife's last name. Her last name was King when we got married. That would have been a killer evangelist name, wouldn't it? Cody King, praise God. Like Creflo Dollar or something like that. Could have got me a jet. Cody King! Wow! Could have went and preached at the Zion AME churches or something like that. Could have got me a doctorate and they'd have said, Dr. King is coming to preach! What a letdown that would have been when I got there. And I remember, Brother Hunter, I thought to myself, man, this is discouraging. And there were several other discouraging things along the path of God put me in. But I knew where God had pointed me towards. And I just took that step. And there were times even my family didn't understand. I just took that step. I knew what God had called me to. And brother, we walked by faith and we took step after step and I watched God do the impossible. I watched God open doors. Y'all want to know something? Y'all know something funny? Here's how the Lord does things. Here's something funny for you. Brother Cliff, about 3 years ago, I was preaching down in South Carolina and I'd been invited down there to preach and I was pastoring here at the time, but still doing, you know, preaching on the road and all that. And about 3 years ago, I was preaching and about halfway through my message, Brother Carl didn't even know he was sitting there, but about halfway through my message, I looked and sitting right on the aisle was that preacher that told me nobody's going to use me and I didn't have the right name. And that fella had to sit there and listen to me preach for 45 minutes and see that God was bigger than he was tonight. I'm telling you, I'm talking about God going before you. I remember when the pulpit committee, several of y'all was on there, Brother Skip, Brother Keith, Brother Tim, some of y'all, Brother John, some of y'all was on that thing and asked me to come over here. And I thought, ain't happening. ain't no way. And I remember getting here and the Lord nudged me that way, and we all together, all of us, Bible missionary and us, just took a step together and decided to go that way. You know what we've seen? Look what God has done. I'm talking about there's a God in heaven that if you'll take a step, He'll go on before you. He ain't never a day late. He ain't never a dollar short. He ain't never let His children down. He always makes a way tonight. He always makes a way tonight. Step forward, step forward. You know what they got an opportunity to do? You know what they got an opportunity to do? Here in the text in chapter 7, these fellas that took the step forward, I don't have time, but if you go to verse 10, they got the opportunity to go back and tell everyone what God had done. They got the opportunity to go back and say, hey! Well, they didn't read it. They went to the porter and started knocking on the gate of the door and knocked on and said, hey! There's a pile of tents out here and ain't nobody in them. There's banquet tables set up out here and ain't nobody eating at them. And they said, shut your mouth. That's the updated, you know, if they really wanted to make an updated Bible, Brother Parks, let me write it. We'll put it in the modern language, praise God. Shut your mouth, sure enough. Yes, sir. There ain't nobody sitting at these tables. They said, we can't believe it. Well, take a step this way and watch what God does. I'm done with this. Esther, come help me over here. I read years ago, and I've been to the place where this happened at, some of that Texas history, Brother Jack, that in the 1830s, you know, the Battle of the Alamo happened March the 6th, 1836, and 180 some odd Texan defenders gave their life for Texas liberty and all that stuff. William Travis, David Crockett, Jim Bowie and all that. By the way, none of them fellas was Texans. It took Georgians and Tennesseans and North Carolinians to come save Texas. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. God bless you, Brother Gary. It took all of us to come save all y'all. Amen. Y'all wouldn't have had nothing had it not been for North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. We the ones that done all the fighting for you. Amen. Anyways, I'm just poking. And anyways, y'all know the Alamo, that didn't turn out so well. All them fellas ended up dying. But about a month later, General Sam Houston, they started what was called the runaway scrape. When Santa Ana and his forces left the Alamo, they started pushing General Houston east. And they wanted to push him out of the state of Texas. It wasn't a state at that time. It was still annexed to Mexico. And they wanted to push him out of their country. And for almost one solid month, it was a whole solid month, from March, early March the 6th, all the way into early April, General Houston just ran. He didn't have about 700 or 800 fighting men against several thousand. And he just ran. He almost lost his army. They kept calling him a coward and thought he was too chicken to fight. He wasn't. He was smart. And he just kept moving, and he just kept moving, and he just kept moving. He was waiting on his opportunity. And finally, in early April, in a little place outside of Houston where Brother Jack and Brother Lutrick and all them's from, a little place called San Jacinto, Texas, San Jacinto. Ain't hardly nothing there, just a little monument such that, but it was a little swampy area. Santa Ana ended up camping one night in an area that had like a river out behind them. And General Houston knew there was only one way in and pretty much one way out. He said, this is my opportunity. And he moved in front of where General Santa Ana was. And they said this, there was a small exit at the back of the line of Santa Ana. It was a little small bridge. It was owned by a little family that had settled there years before. And General Sam Houston sent one of the first Texas Rangers, later to become a Texas Ranger, named Deep Smith. Sent Deep Smith to go behind the enemy lines and took some men, and he said, Deep, go burn that bridge. He said, but General, that's the only way to get out. If one of us starts losing, that's our escape route. He said, yeah, but that bridge is going to leave today. He said, one of us is walking out a winner and one of us walking out a loser. There's only one way to go today, Deep, forward. Nowhere to go behind us. Just forwards. And son, they moved up in there and took the field. And in like 13 minutes, the battle was over. They only accrued like 5 or 6 casualties on the Texian side and ended up making Santa Ana sign over the rights of Mexico to the Texians, which later become the Republic, which later become the state of Texas. And it was all because one fellow said, no more going back. We're going forward. You say, what should we do in the dark? What's the sweet thing in the dark place? Make your mind up. I ain't sliding backwards when the dark hits me. And I ain't just going to sit still in the dark. I'm going to step forward and watch what God does. Watch and see if God won't meet me up there and do something that we can't do. Let's all stand tonight. Father, I pray you bless the simple message from your word. Lord, we thank you for the lessons from these lepers. God, I pray you'd give us a whole house full of people that tonight would at least commit and make their mind up. We ain't going back. Not going back. Seen God do too much. We're going to take our family and we're going to go forward for the glory of God. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep worshiping. Keep witnessing. Keep serving God. Not going back. Nothing to go back to. Not going to get stagnant and set still. We're going to step forward. God, help us tonight. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive the place in our Christian life we've just gotten comfortable. Forgive me. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.